Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back in the building. Major League Baseball has finally turned the stove off. So now it is time to really give you the latest episode of the High and Outside podcast. Of course, my name is Dante Miles. You know, but to follow me at October's on Tay on Twitter and Instagram. For everything Barbershare related, make sure you check us out at Barbershare Co. on Twitter and Instagram. Follow our Patreon at patreon.com/ Barbershare Network. We have four very affordable tiers. The highest is $10. So very affordable. We got a lot of great work coming in from Bears OTAs. Come shop with us. We got new episodes of King's Landing being loaded every week. So we got a lot more work coming, man. Make sure y'all check in with us. For the merch, make sure you go get your merch. We appreciate everybody that's buying merch. Check us out, bcnetshop.com. And for everything else Barbershare Net related, Sid will have an amazing article for you about the Mets and their moves during this trade deadline. Check us out at thebcnet.com. I'm bringing my crew. How y'all feeling, fellas?
It's good. It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Go ahead, Malik, my bad.
I don't know if I love it yet. I'm content. Let's say that. Content. I have to be. It's over. It's over. What can I say? And they bought out and I'm jealous too. Like look what they did in New York. Look what they did in San Diego. But I guess the little moves that help.
Yeah. I mean, you know, with me looking at two different teams, obviously being, you know, the Braves and the White Sox, today was a mixed bag for me. The White Sox, who have been, as Scott said, we are pulling up on Fun Bad Boulevard. If you've been watching my White Sox since the All-Star break, this is a fun team. The young guys are clicking. They're really buying in.
Team in baseball since the break. I think
you said it. You said it, not me. I know we scored the most runs, but neither here nor there. But pulling up on Fun Bad Boulevard, we weren't able to offload Lewis Robert, which I understood, because if you're the White Sox, and me and Sid kind of had a little back and forth about this earlier, I get why people don't want to buy high on him. But if I'm the White Sox, I'm also not just giving him away. We only have $26 million on the books next season, so I can pick up that $20 million option, and it's not going to kill me. So if that's the case and he's been playing well, let him get into a groove and then you trade him in the offseason. But, you know, other than that, they made a couple moves, brought in a couple more young prospects, you know, guys that aren't really super needle movers. But if you can get some people to hit and at worst you have some utility guys, that's a plus for me. So White Sox, that's one side. Other side, the Braves. I'm starting to believe that, you know, Alex really is, you know, being told, hey, you can do this, but you can't do that.
It's over.
We got our one, but sir, we have the battery. We have money to be made. We don't really
want to
put that money into the pit. We'll get into that in a second. Okay. But I do think it's other factors at play when it comes to the moves the Braves are making.
Agreed. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, because Braves Nation is what it is, Braves Country, as we like to say. They don't want to sell. They can't even give the appearance of selling. They're not going to do that to their fan base. And on one hand, I get it, because you have a very loyal fan base that shows up, spends money. So put the best product on the field. Obviously, the logical mind, and now that everybody loves to play armchair GM, is, hey, bro, we fucking suck. Let's try to reload this thing and come back for 2026. But they did not do that. And before we get into our full breakdown of the MLB trade deadline, a lot of great moves made. A lot of teams didn't make moves. Chicago Cubs, I'm talking about you. But let's get into some news. We had a lot of news this week, some big, some smaller, but a lot of things that, you know, are important and may have more implications down the line. There was a big story about how Philadelphia Phillies superstar Bryce Harper confronted Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. As we all know, we've been talking about it on this show for a few weeks now. There is, you know, some heavy salary cap talk being floated. You know, a lot of fillers being put out there for Major League Baseball. They're trying to play it off and say, oh, well, we just, you know, trying to just gauge. No. This is what they want to do. And they're kind of like trying to give you the heads up. Like, hey, just FYI, it kind of would be in your interest to do this, because if you don't, we're going to lock you out. Like, it's a lockout. The lockout's coming. And so he was in the locker room, and Bryce Harper said, if that's what you came to talk about, get the fuck out of our locker room. Get the fuck out of our clubhouse. Just essentially just leave. That's a non-starter. And like we've said, that it will continue to be a non-starter for Major League Baseball players as we head toward what seems to be the inevitable brick wall of a lockout in 2027. No matter how amazing this talent is on the field, no matter how much the game is just going, you know, continuing to rise, we keep getting this. And so here we are, and these are the results. I think, like I said, it's going to be a contentious negotiation. We all know that. Tony Clark already said it. He said, you know, this is a no-go for us. Like, no way in hell. And the owners, as we know, when you hold the purse strings, you have certain things at your disposal that you can do to try to change their mind. So, Sid, I'm going to throw it to you first, bro. How you feeling about this interaction between Manfred and the commissioner? And where do we go from here?
How do I feel? Bryce Harper, as a representative of baseball, great job, because it is a non-starter. I'm glad he was there to say that. However, it kind of feels like when the principal comes to your elementary school classroom and you just be like, yeah, that's cool, bro. And then you just go back to what you were doing, which is fine, but it just feels insane, dog. Like, there's no way this is going to be anything other than a lockout, right? Like, it sucks, but like, it feels that way because like owners are on record saying shit like, well, a lockout is a tool of negotiation. Like, no, it's not. You're like, people are willing to play baseball while they figure it out. Like, there's plenty of shit that people are willing to do. Yeah. I don't know, man.
No, and you're absolutely right. The issue with the whole lockout, and we talk about negotiations and playing hardball, and it's always interesting when people suddenly, my bad for keeping the camera on you as I say this. It's always interesting that people suddenly turn into an economist whenever it's time for workers to go to the negotiation table. And it's like, I understand as a fan, you're a consumer, but I think as consumers, we've reached a point, and obviously this goes across essentially every part of our society, where we've lost track of the plot here. Like,
oh yeah,
when you aren't a billionaire and you are sitting here siding with the billionaires over the workers, don't get me wrong, they get paid millions of dollars to play a game, but they are still professional athletes. They're doing a job. They're high paid professionals.
They're still closer to us in money than they are the billionaire, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane to think about, but it is the reality. And so I know a lot of times as fans, you don't have the empathy and you're sitting there saying, well, fuck them. But it's like, no, it's like it's sheer greed that causes this, especially when you look at guys like Reinsdorf and you look at the owner from the Pirates and you look at these guys who have from the Marlins who have $60 million payrolls. You get $80+ million in revenue sharing. You get your concessions. You get your gates. Oh, yeah, you don't have any money on your fucking payroll. It just doesn't add up. So, I mean, Malik, you back. I'm going to bring you in. How do you feel about the interaction between Harper and Manfred? And like I said, where do we go from here with this whole salary cap talk?
If I was the players, I wouldn't budge, but I definitely think it's going to get worse, like y'all are talking about. And 2027 is going to be a good year in baseball. I believe they got, All-Star Game in Wrigley Field that year. Imagine Paul Skeens in a few years, Mezorowski, all the young talent that we have balling out right now that looks like it's going to get stopped with this lockout. But even Max Scherzer from the Toronto Blue Jays said it the other day. He said, hey, Manfred's coming. He hasn't visited our team. I got something to say to him, too. So it's clearly the big dogs. And by the big dogs, I mean, you know, the guys like Bryce Harper and the guys like Max Scherzer who've been around the business there. Max is the champion. High paid guys, guy, you know, a guy like Max, I don't think a guy like Max makes the money he makes right now if it is for a salary cap. So guys like that are going to have to stick it out and ride for the lesser paid players so it doesn't end up being like that. I don't have a lot of positive thoughts about the lockout coming. I thought they could avoid the last one, and we actually missed baseball. So it gets real that, like, I believe, when did they come back last time? July? I want to say maybe it was early July, around the 4th.
We played like 150-something games. Like,
it was a spring training.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, but it was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, bro.
Go ahead.
No, and again, like, this is what it all comes back to. It's like, what are we doing? When we get to a point where you have everybody, like, there's a consensus. This is the most talented the game has had in a ever. I was going to say a very long time, but let's scratch that, ever. Like, you had your greats, but in terms of just the talent on the field and the way baseball is, we finally started to crawl out of people calling it a dead sport. You know, we're at a really good space here, especially internationally, especially globally, especially with the popularity of WBC. You know, so why would you, as the, you know, pretty much flagship league on planet Earth, there should never be a stoppage of play with Major League Baseball. I'm sorry. I understand you do need to negotiate. I understand these things matter. But at the same time, I feel like far too often there aren't enough rational people who say, you know, we're making a shitload of money. Why mess up a good thing?
How much is enough? Like, you know, like, if multi-billions isn't enough, like, what's the next step for you? Like, what are we doing?
But again, Sid, I think that's another question that, you know, it goes across every area of our society. It's just like, when is enough enough? When you already have everything.
Like, you know, like, how much does the world cost? Like, go to the moon if you want, bro. Like, take your money and go. Like, leave us alone.
at this point, because it's like, goodness, you have... Like,
we can figure it out, I promise.
And another thing I want to talk about real quick before we go, I think the influx of money from the finance bros needs to be talked about. Because, yes, they have a whirlwind of cash, but a lot of people don't look at how they make their money and the mentality when they acquire things. You know, the whole strip it down to the screws, spend the least amount of money possible, have the most profit, and fuck everybody else. Like, that's not sustainable when it comes to putting quality products on the field. So when we keep hearing and seeing these articles about, oh man, finance money is coming in the professional sports, get ready. It's not what you think it is.
Cohen and Steve Ballmer.
Yes, not everyone. Thank you. Not everybody is Cohen and Ballmer. Not everybody is saying, you know what, I have a blank check, I'm going to use it.
Rubenstein, the Orioles owner, he like doesn't love spending a lot of money on the team. Like, and maybe it's because, like, you know, there's still like a lot of stuff in the situation and payroll and stuff that aren't his, like in the same way that like Steve Cohen didn't exactly like go on this wild spending parade that everyone thought when he first got there. But like the Francisco Lindor contract was there. But again, like, yeah, there's questions for sure.
Yeah. Malik, anything for you before we move on?
Man, I just hope they, like you said, man, this ain't the time to stop. We're going to be coming off of a World Baseball Classic, a few World Series, and we're seeing people at the ballpark more than ever been before. They need to do everything they can to avoid it, but clearly Bryce and the Phillies, they've never been shy to speak their opinions. We figured that out over the last few weeks, whether it came to all-star spot selections or this lockout. They're going to let it be known, whether you want to call it whining and bitching or what you want to say, hey, they're using their voices that God give them. So I hope for no lockout, but things aren't looking too good.
Yeah, bro. Now, speaking of not looking too good, we have another gambling scandal on our hands, and it's in the same city as the last one, the great city of Cleveland.
Great.
One gentleman who was considered by many to be the best reliever on the trading block. I mean, we didn't know if Mason Miller was going to really move or not. But Emmanuel Clase, feds rang him up, you know, suspicions of gambling. And let's just talk about it, bro. What the fuck is happening? Like, our country has unleashed a demon that I think a lot of people were not prepared for. Now, we all are into sports. We all cover sports. We all have been watching sports our entire lives. So we know about gambling. We know about the lines. Me and Malik, Vegas is like our second home. We there multiple times a year. So it's not anything new.
Gambling. Yeah, no, I love gambling. I just...
But when you...
Too. Yeah.
when you've gotten to the point now where everyone can gamble from their phone, essentially, because even now, I'm like me living in Georgia, I can't go to just Caesar's Sportsbook, but I can do, you know, Prize Picks. I can do Better, which, I mean, I don't like putting money into Jake Paul's pocket, but it gives me a chance to gamble. But, you know, things like that. It's gotten to the point where we're getting more and more players caught up in this. And people want to talk about, you know, well, the leagues are being hypocrites. No. One thing I will say is that these leagues, let it be known, do not gamble. Like, and this goes back to, and why I hate when people try to call athletes slaves when they're really, like, again, they're high-paid employees. If I'm a high-paid employee, as your employer, yes, there are going to be certain stipulations to that employment that don't involve strictly just your performance on the court. There's certain things you can't do. And for when we play dumb about it and people want to be like, well, what? That's not it. Stop. They know what they're doing. And we know this as well, because, I mean, the greatest basketball player of all time had an interview with Amar Rashad where he had to sit down and tell people, yes, I like gambling. Like, I'm just very rich. And one thing I like when Amar said, he was like, yeah, you know, Mike betting $1 million is like you betting $100. It's not the same thing. So given the implications of this and given what we've seen in the NBA and now with Major League Baseball, I believe that, well, yes, football as well. We've seen football players suspended for the year for literally gambling on company premises. Like, it's out of control, and that's an understatement. And we're only, what, 2 or 3 years into the legalization of gambling. So what are we going to do, bro? Because it's only going to get worse. I didn't even mention Shohei and how he skated, but it's only going to get worse. So, Malik, I'm going to go to you because I'm not sure. Do you all have legalized gambling in Texas?
It's not legal, but I can put a parlay on Fliff, Prize Picks, FanDuel, Underdog, all that. And that's the thing about it is with these players, like, just trying to dive into their minds a little bit, you can't control anything with gambling besides your slip. You don't touch the ball. You don't shoot the ball. You don't get the rush yards. You can't score a touchdown. These pitchers are like, shit, I can throw a first pitch ball. I can, you know, and it maybe gets deep. I can groove this pitch, and I'm still getting my check. It's just the secrecy that they have about it. Like, I'm not understanding. You would think it would be so simple as to being able to give somebody else your money and gamble it, and you know, you turn up. Like, I'm confused on how they're getting caught up in this situation. There's so many ways to avoid it. And then at that point, bro, like you said, we talked to Josiah Gray, was that 2 years ago, and he made it clear, hey man, they tell me I can gamble on any sport I want. Whenever I touch Major League Baseball, that is when it's going to be a problem. In any way, if he was to bet on nobody on the Nationals, nobody that he's playing, it's just something that you don't do. They make it completely clear. But I think people see this fast money, especially some of these guys. I mean, it's been the foreigners. Ohtani had a bag, but who is he? Reyes and Class A, you know, that guys are from the Dominican. Maybe it's, you know, they got a little signing bonus here, but those type of guys never get paid. So maybe it becomes a point where they're like, hey, let me, you know, grab a quick buck, but it's just not worth your career. And it's sad on Classe's point, because this, to me, this is his, what, second? He already got caught with the steroids a few years ago. And then he has this on top of just the weird shit. Whenever he posted all his trophies and
his accolades.
Yeah, just a few weird knots. It sucks. He's one of the best. You're right. He's one of the best closers in baseball. I think he's better than Mason Miller when he's at his best, but we're never going to see him. I don't think we ever see him playing Major League Baseball again off something so simple that could have been so avoidable.
Bro, and before I take it to you, Sid, I agree. And I think it's a thing where the guys who aren't the superstars, they have more incentive to gamble. Because like you said, if I'm a pitcher, I'm a reliever. These relievers these days are so specialized. They know the guys that usually going to pitch to, you know, when you're going to get called, what situations you may get called in. But if I'm a guy like Class A, like you said, I could put in a quick parlay where I, you know, first pitch ball, I'm a groove a pitch to this guy, blah, blah, blah. Like, those things are possible. And as we know, I have some friends who are, as they would quote, you know, these are their words, not mine, degenerate gamblers, who, you know, they know for a fact that these athletes are locked in on these parlays and the over unders and what their, you know, point over on there is today and all of that. So when you have guys like Terry Rozier and the bunch in the NBA getting caught up, it's not shocking. It's not surprising. Rozier is a little shocking because he's got a couple of those mid-level exceptions where you're making $40, $50 million. So I'm not sure why you would do that. But it's very real, and it's a very real problem. Sid, let me take it to you, bro. How do you feel about this? And, you know, again, at this point, it's not an if. When are we going to get that really, really big scandal? And I damn near want to say we already had it with Shohei. But when do we get another big, a big domino to fall where it's a star that's implicated in this type of actions?
Okay, so I have an idea of who it would be, but I'm not going to say it.
James Harden?
No. Well, I'm not going to say it while we're live. We're going to laugh about it later, though. How do I feel? sports betting is a plague, bro. Like, sports betting might be one of the worst things that's ever happened to people. And, like, I think sports are pretty bad. So, like, as a casual enjoyer of sports and sports betting, actually, that's a lie. I'm not a casual enjoyer of sports or sports betting. I like both very much. It's a problem. I can only imagine if little old me, who is, I guess, semi-tapped into people who can play professional sports, would, like, if I knew I could get away with it, I would definitely be like, hey, yo, bro, go sell for me real quick. But, like, I can't. So I can only imagine that the major league players who think, hey, maybe I can just sell a pitch real quick, I might probably think the same thing. So I get it. But they probably shouldn't be thinking like I do. I'm poor, like, you know. But I think it all comes back to heading to a really big brick wall of that lockout in 2027, just because, like, this can't be continuous. And, like, honestly, let's say, like, I hate to get political, but, like, let's say we get, like, 4 years of, like, a Democratic president, we get another Republican president, sports gambling is probably gone. Like, off the apps and stuff like that. Like a real Republican president who's not just, like, Trump will probably do that. I can see that happening.
Yeah, 100%. I look at with the way, like, with different adult sites and sites in general now, you have to put your ID in certain red states. Like, I live in Georgia, and there's certain sites you can't go to without entering your ID to let them know that you're 18 years old. But like you said, so we're going to see some things possibly change, because with me, I think the pendulum is starting to swing. And while we were happy about the taxes that come with the gambling and the potential, you know, money that goes there, similar with legalized marijuana, everybody talks about the taxes and how they can be used for schools and funding roads and things like that. When you think about they just don't. Some do. Denver does. But the moral implication of things like gambling, when you have people who are leveraging more than they have, that becomes problematic. And then when you have NBA players, like I said, Malik Beasley, Marcus Morris, because everybody talked about Marcus Morris committing fraud. Kendrick Perkins did a really good job of breaking it down, where he says, when you take a marker from a casino, you essentially have, you know, 30 days to pay that marker back. And so, you know, he was writing bad checks. He wrote one for, like, a luxury, some luxury cars and things like that. But he was like, the casino doesn't really want to go after you, but when you do things like that, that means, you know, they feel disrespected. So, like, now we have to come get you.
And didn't Gilbert Arenas get caught up, like, yesterday?
He just got caught up for running an allegedly helping organize illegal poker games where they were taking a marker off the top, where, you know, they had, you know, entertainment set up, things like that. But it was a house that he was renting, And he just claims he was only renting the house, but it was him and some Israeli gangsters, which how you get involved with Israeli gangsters, I have no fucking clue, but this Gilbert Arenas. And yeah, so there they are. But no, this gambling, like you said, we're going to hit a wall. We are going to hit a wall on this. And it's going to be a problem. So just not a matter of if, more so when.
You probably just have to like punish teams for singular players at this point. Like that's got to be the only way.
But like I can't imagine if Kase was my damn teammate, bro. I have him on my fantasy team and I'm already like, bro, how many games did you just lose to me, bro? We grind it all off season. We get you this lead in the ninth inning. We up by 2-3 runs and I find you blowing games. We just scrapped to get down. We were down 5-0. We made it 5-5. I need you to shut this team down in the 10th so we can go get a walk-off run. And you're grooving two fastballs, bro. I don't even see how you walk in back into your locker room. And especially closer, when you find out you're gambling on yourself. You know, yeah. I don't think Pete Rose ever gambled against himself. I can't be sure, but like you fucking gambled.
That's what he says.
Right. He claims that.
Yeah, like you gamble against your own team. I can't see how you walk back into a locker room in any locker room. Like later, you know, Class A, okay, Cleveland gets out of him, don't have to pay him any money, whatever. Like I'm not touching that.
I don't care how good you are.
The thing about baseball that we've learned over recent years, from Roberto Azuna to Julio Urias to Addison Russell is, Trevor I mean, Miller. Shohei Ohtani, he pays in jail. If they cover that up, they cover that up. But they will get you out of baseball, and you will not. They won't blink twice. They'll move on without you.
The game goes on, bro.
Thank God we've gotten there as baseball be good enough to kick out whoever the fuck. And still be a functional league. Thank fucking God. Because, like, if the NBA had to kick out LeBron James, nobody knows what the fuck is going on. Like, we kick out Bryce Harper for something like this, we'll be okay tomorrow. Who cares? Yeah.
No, yeah. He lost right.
Tatis for God knows how long, and he's kind of just,
I love this. Steroid suspensions don't even matter no more. Like, if you come back and perform, like, it's okay, bro. You know, you got your bag. You're not going to be able to play in the playoffs, which fucks us over, but it's cool. We got next season. We're going to see, man. But before we get into our final thoughts about the MLB trade deadline, we got a little bit more news. Two superstars, two injuries. I think both are more severe than the teams are letting on. But here we are. Ronald Acuña Jr., he came back from, you know, the torn ACL. He set the league on fire. He made the All-Star team. And he was officially diagnosed yesterday with a grade 1 calf strain. The reason that it is concerning for me is Kevin Durant, Tyrese Halliburton. Yes, these are different sports, but they too were diagnosed with calf strains before eventually tearing their Achilles. So the day he would left the game, he left the game with Achilles soreness. And so he was in tears. He was visibly frustrated because he's missed so much time. And today, Alex Anthopoulos goes, well, you know, the doctor said he can play, so we don't have any plans of shutting him down if he wants to go. I think that is the dumbest shit in the world. I think there is no way on God's green earth you let Ronald Acuña Jr. touch that field for the rest of the season. Your season's over. Like, you've missed some games. Yes, it's going to be tough emotionally, but you are our franchise right now. There's no fucking way you should let that man touch that field until the season is over. I mean, until 2026, like that, flat out. That's it. That's all. And for the other major injury, Aaron Judge. Is it officially he needs Tommy John?
They haven't announced it yet.
Okay, but elbow injury. Now the Yankees are scrambling. One Carlos Warwood up in the outfield, which you never want to see these days. It's really a thing now. So with the Yankees, they made some moves. in the trade deadline. They were, you know, super aggressive, but now you're at a dilemma because, again, this is a team that was, you know, maybe a caught fly ball from winning the World Series. Now you're looking at a team that needs to fight off the Blue Jays and do everything they can to try to get back to the World Series, and you may not have your best player and the best power hitter in the game on your team. So I'm going to ask, you know, you all both about both guys. I've given my opinion about Ronnie, and I feel strongly about that. I think he should be shut down. But Sid, I'll go to you. How do you feel about these injuries and how they affect these teams?
Acuna, shut it down. Like, don't even play the game. Like, we've been here before. We'll be here again, unfortunately, if we let him go. We should just stop that. He is way too good at baseball to just be limited. And when he comes back, just DH the guy. Like, do what you got to do. Thankfully for Aaron Judge, if it is Tommy John, it's not as damning, but it does, you know, kill the Yankees chances this year, I believe. But, you know, I didn't really believe they had much of an actual competitive chance. And then, you know, with the additions that the Astros have made, it just feels like, you know, it's not in the cards for them. And so much of what they're trying to do is replicate the baby bombers finding, like, you know, like how they kind of just lucked into all those guys being good at one time and being able to compete. And I just don't think they have that same kick, that same slew of prospects, that same quality of talent in the front office and everything. Like, you know, I think just too much time has passed. So yeah. I think both teams were already not going to win a World Series this year. So here we are with them still not winning a World Series after the deadline.
Facts. Malik, how you feel, bro?
Oh, man. It's crazy because they've had a little connection this year. You see the grenade celebration Acuna got from Ja, and then he, you know, Ja sends him over the shoes. I feel like we're seeing a similar, you know, to cross sports, a similar connection. Ja maybe hasn't had as serious as injuries as Ronnie, but you just one of the more explosive players on the field, one of the best athletes on the field, just can't stay healthy, just can't stay on the field. It's always something. I completely agree with you. There's no reason for Ronald Acuna Jr. to play baseball again this year. It would break my heart literally to see him tear his Achilles. Already, like, tearing your ACL playing baseball is crazy. You rarely see stuff like that. And seeing him hobble off the field against Kansas City in a game that I know it was good vibes for him. He was playing against his cousin, Mikel Garcia, on the other side. So, you know, I'm sure they had some family in town, but seeing him limp off that field, it wouldn't sit right with me watching him run down a fly ball or doing something as simple as you brought up Halliburton, literally took a step back and his Achilles tears. I don't, you know, Ronnie can do that swinging at a pitch. So you go sit down. For Aaron Judge, of course, it sucks for the Yankees. I'm surprised they didn't go get a bigger bat. I like what they did at the back end of their bullpen. When you go over there and you get Doval and you get Bender, they're shutting stuff down. But my big question on Aaron Judge is this the move that sort of switches him to first base, kind of like how Bryce Harper did? Bryce Harper dealt with a similar injury, had surgery, and he moved from right, and now he's playing full-time first base in Philly. Maybe one day we see him back out there, but Judge is going to be near his mid-30s. He's 6'5". Whatever size, he's a big dude.
6'7".
Yeah. So, like, maybe it's your time to hit the, you know, I'm cool with him hitting this year just because, like you said, they're the Yankees. And I don't think that their World Series window is as wide open as many seem to think. Maybe just their fan base thinks. But, you know, let Judge hit this year. Maybe get the surgery, see where he's at next year. But, man, stay out the outfield. Play first base, learn a new position. Goldschmidt's a little older. They got Spencer Jones coming up here soon. So, you know, you can have a little bit of flexibility with your outfield. But I think that's what's going to happen to the Yankees come, what, that would be 2026, 2027.
Yeah. I just want to say a 6'7", 240-pound first baseman sounds insane. Like, but I mean, to your point, I agree. Given the injury, given not wanting to put their stress on his arm and having him throwing consistently, first base seems like the most viable option. So it's going to be very interesting. And now, let's get into what we came here for. The final results of 2025 MLB trade deadline. We were actually supposed to record yesterday. You know, we were trying to get, you know, the full Fantastic Four in the building. But again, you know, we just thought about it. We hesitated and we said, you know, something's going to happen tomorrow and it's going to piss us off that we recorded. So we decided to wait and we were not wrong. We were not wrong. So Courtney, shout out to you. We're going to get you back on track next week. But this week we had to wait and we ended up going and it was the right decision because the stove went crazy today. A lot of moves, a lot of teams making moves and we're going to switch it up a little bit before I go around the room and ask everybody their winners. We'll start with the losers. The people that we feel did not do enough, did not react to the moment, did not, you know, take that step that we wanted to see. So first, and we talked about this, I told you guys, the Chicago Cubs. That's the team that should have been all in. You've been ran down by the Brewers. And they don't like their stop. And we're going to get into them when we talk about the winners. But you got ran down by the Brewers. You still do not have a third baseman worth a damn. You got a utility man in Willie Castro, which no disrespect to Willie, but he's not going to really solve your problems at third base. But you still continue to struggle. Mike Soroka, no disrespect, but brother, that was not the move you needed to make. Even though with Soroka, what they're banking on is putting him on a team with a much better defense is going to help him because, you know, he's been pitching better as of late and his expected ERA has dropped significantly, which, as we all know, expected stats, I feel you, dog, but I don't feel you. Like, it sounds good in theory, but practice and theory are two completely different things. So I hear you, but no. And yes, who was the other pitcher that they got? They got Soroka and I can't find his name right now, but there's another pitcher they picked up. But it was nobody to really write home about. None of the guys that they wanted to go after. No Joe Ryan, no Sandy, none of that. No Shane Bieber. None of the star, even though Bieber is more so for a next year move, but none of the pitchers that could have really helped them and really bolstered this team were added. And so the Cubs are a team that I definitely, definitely mark down as losers. And I'm going to give y'all one more before I switch over to I'll go see if we'll go with you first. Another one of my losers. And this is just further indication that, you know, when that window closes, brother, it closes fast. The Baltimore Orioles. What the entire fuck is going on in Baltimore right now? That's one of those teams that we all you all saw the first episode. I picked them to go to the World Series. This is one of those teams where we thought, you know, they were going to turn that corner with those prospects. And we have guys who have fallen off of a fucking cliff. I don't know what the feeling is around Adley Rutschman right now, because at one point people were, you know, trying to compare him to Buster and talk about how amazing he was going to be. And now it seems like everybody has sold every single bit of Adley stock that they had. And that's interesting to me. Trade Cedric Mullins. I know the guy over there is going to be happy about that. But you trade Cedric Mullins. It's just, I don't know how you rebuild. You sail in 2022. And now, after 2 years of making the playoffs where you did not win any games, you sell again. So it's the direction of that ball club, the, you know, the core that we thought they had. There's some questions to be answered in Baltimore. So, I mean, those are my two teams that really, more than anybody, outside of Minnesota selling the whole roster, which I don't even, where do we even start with that? Bucks comes here and says, you know what? I got a no trade clause. I'm going to be a twin forever. They can't trade me. They said, shit, we're going to trade everybody else, brother. Enjoy that. If you want to be here, you're going to be here alone because they traded everybody.
How much you really like Minnesota?
Yeah, but those are my losers, bro. So, Sid, I'm going to go to you. Right, who are some teams that, you know, really disappointed you today?
The Kansas City Royals. I wanted them to do so much more. It feels like there's, like, okay, the Tigers are going to win that division, but, like, the wild card spot, there's anyone, you know? Like, I don't know why they didn't do that. It seems like they have, like, a lot of talent. It feels like with Jack and Bobby and Sal, like, you know, it's up. It feels like you have a lot of what did the president say? He had the concept of a plan. It felt like the Orioles had the concept of a plan. Same thing with the Royals, and then they kind of just didn't. So yeah, I think the Royals and the Orioles are my two biggest losers, besides like the Twins. And those are my biggest losers for sure.
Yeah, Malik, how you feeling?
I'm gonna go out to the West Coast. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They beat the Texas Rangers. They won the first two games of the series. And after, the GM says, no, we're going to hold on to Refugo, Taylor Ward, Joe Adell, Reed Detmers, you know, the Nettos of the world. Hey, we're going to hold on. We're going to go all in. We got Mike Trout on our team. He hasn't been to the playoffs yet. The next day, the fans packed the ballpark, had it. The Angels in the outfield, send in right field. It was an electric game. The Rangers ended up winning. And then today, I want to say the only moves they made was for a reliever, Andrew Chafin. Just not enough to push through with what the Mariners did, even what the Rangers did, and even what the Astros did. Just a real, real quiet night from them. Another loser I want to think about, Atlanta. And you talked about him earlier, but Ozuna is still on the roster. He's not under contract next year. Iglesias still on the roster. He's not under contract next year. Yeah, and they benched Ozuna after the All-Star break just to keep him healthy for the trade deadline, just to not trade him. So you also lost out on wins keeping him on the bench. So Angels and Braves are my losers.
Yeah, man, a lot of interesting moves being made. The A's, you know, they talked about Severino and how they couldn't wait to deal him and then didn't deal him. So that was another one that was, you know, interesting. But, I mean, that's just an interesting ball club. You know, speaking of the A's, a report came out that the ballpark in Vegas is now going to cost $2 billion. And, you know, they have no mentions of how they're going to actually fund that. So good luck.
It's not happening.
Yeah. But to quote the great Courtney Carter, bro, it's saying it ain't happening.
Yeah, that's
you know. But let's get into our winners, man. And obviously, we're going to go – I'm going to kick it off with the people who will be the podcast art for this week, the Seattle Mariners. The Seattle Mariners, ladies and gentlemen, are finally doing what we've talked about on this show and what we've wanted them to do for the past 2 or 3 years. Go for it, bro. Go for it all. And they have added two middle-of-the-lineup all-stars to go with – I was almost about to say that terrible nickname, but I will not say it. To go with Kyle Raleigh, talking about Josh Naylor and Eugenio Suarez, bro. This team, you still got J-Rod in the center. You still got my boy, my favorite Mexican, Randy Arozarena. This team, man, they can finally make a push that we've been begging for them to make over the past few years. So. The Mariners, that was a team that, you know, really, I really, really like the moves that they make. Malik, I won't go too in-depth because I know you're going to talk about them, but I like the Rangers going out and getting Merrill Kelly. Toronto, and they have been always one of my quiet favorite teams. Like, I think maybe 3 out of the last 4 years I found a way to get up to a game in Toronto. It's just a nice ballpark, but – I think Shane Bieber is going to be just fine next year. Me personally, I do. I think Shane Bieber getting him, you know, low risk, high reward. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And so that's a team, given everything they've done, given the way that they've spent their money. And, you know, we keep talking about people turning down the money. I think that, you know, Vladdy taking that bread is going to really help them turn a leaf. where people start to see, okay, you know, it's not that bad on the other side of the border. I'm still not sure about the tax situation, but I mean, Vladdy's kind of showing you the way. He's a resident of Florida, so, you know, he saves a lot of money that way. But I think that's a team that I really like that move, and I really like where they're headed in their trajectory. So, Malik, I'm gonna start with you, bro. Give me your winners.
Well, I'm gonna go to one West Coast winner, and I can't give too much East Coast bias because I know the Mets went absolutely apeshit this deadline. The San Diego Padres, though, I think they loaded up that bullpen. You get a guy like Mason Miller. We were debating it all day, man. Do you hoard these prospects? Do you get rid of them? They got rid of what, like 8-15 fucking top 100 prospects. They cleared house, and you get a guy like Mason Miller who he hasn't pitched in the playoffs. He hasn't pitched in a big game outside of the final game in the Oakland Coliseum in his career. He's going to be electric out there in San Diego. And what I like about what they did, similar to the Mets, is they're ending games in the 7th, 8th, 9th. The game's over in the 7th. The game's over in, you know, the 6th inning. You have a guy who should be closing on another roster in the game. I think he lengthened their lineup. Ryan O'Hearn, I think, is a huge add. Great bat. He's having a great season. It's a bit of a rental. He's a journeyman type player, a guy that I wanted the Rangers to be in on, but made his first career All-Star team this year. Left-handed bat, first baseman option at first base and DH. Lengthens their lineup, and I think for them, their biggest hump has always been the Dodgers. They haven't matched up with, you know, the New York teams in the playoffs yet, but it's always beating the Dodgers. I think now they're better set to do that. Down here in Texas, the pitching staff got better. You know, you made a good, you know, you can never have too many pitchers. You can never have too much good depth with the injuries and with the, you know, Jacob deGrom, he's made every start this year, but, you know, I'm sure they don't want to fully press him. Nathan Uvalde, every other week, it seems like he has some issue with his shoulder, so they're still worried about him. Did I just see Eugenio Suarez just got his first hit as a back with the Mariners, scored it a double. Do wish the Rangers went for a bat, but Columbine from the Twins, lefty with a ERA around 1.6. Merrill Kelly, like you mentioned, solid starting pitcher. I want to see if that moves Kumar Rocker, who's having another good start, to the bullpen. I think it's going to get a little shaky there. Jack Leiter, somebody's going to have to go unless you roll with the six-man rotation. But I think getting the bullpen, getting a few guys to help late in games and leverage situations definitely will bode well for the Rangers. I do think they missed out on getting that big bat, but also I think that regardless of what player they could have acquired, the guys on the current roster, the Adolis Garcias, your Corey Seagers, your Marcus Simeons, your Josh Jung, who was called down and recently just recalled, if they don't ball, it's not going to matter what a guy does. It does suck seeing a team like teams like the Mariners and Astros get better, of course, adding Correa, Suarez, Naylor, but a few of those guys in Correa and Suarez, they got rid of them for a reason. So time will tell on if those deals hit, but I did out.
All right. No, definitely, Brody. I'll say that last sentence again, Malik. You kind of broke up at the end.
I was just saying, I like what the Rangers did, and then I like what the Padres did out west.
Yeah, got you. See it, bro. Go ahead and take your little victory lap. I'm going to give you a minute. Matter of fact, I'm going to clear the screen out. I'll let you
mind
get your...
Mind you, this is his second one in the last 2 weeks.
I know, in like 2 weeks, bro. What the fuck? But go ahead. That's the hate right there. I didn't mean to click that on myself, but I'm going to go ahead and let you get your shit off. Go ahead.
Oh, man. Who would have thought, right? So here's a list of everyone that's ever wronged me. No, I'm kidding. it feels really cool to have a team that competes and actually addresses exactly what needs to be done. When it comes down to it, Taylor Rogers, Gregory Soto, Hemsley, and Cedric Mullins, like, you really can't ask for more for this Mets team. The concern was hitting lefties out of the out of center field, and you have Mullins hitting 298 with three home runs and nine RBIs on 101 plate appearances for hitting against lefties, plus some really good defense. And he's just one of my favorite players in the league. So it's great. It's cool. It's fantastic. But the bullpen, just being able to adjust your bullpen to exactly to what your starters' needs are is exactly what I think of when Steve Cohen says things like, we need to turn the Mets into the East Coast Dodgers. And so, you know, as they continue to do this, being able to present multiple elite players at multiple times from the bullpen, but also having elite bats on the bench, it's good. Things are good. This is the type of gluttony that they talked about in the Bible. And for all of us who love the numbers, the Dodgers, their starters only pitched 42% of innings or of their outings when it came to their postseason last year. So if we can get, you know, four or five innings from Clay Holmes every 5 days, that works. David Peterson, Kodai Senga, and Sean Manaea all coming back and being able to go on no more innings limits. So, yeah, things are really good. Once we get Pete Alonso back to being a league competent hitter and Francisco Lindor out of the Lindor slump that he always goes through every year, things will be good. But it's July 31st. Real baseball starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, it actually starts tonight in the AG, because everybody that the Mariners added, Suarez, Naylor, are in the lineup for a crucial four-game series. But yeah, I like what you said, bro. It's the trade day, you know, the second half of the season trade deadline, All-Star break. Everybody came through. Everybody, you know, a little relaxed on the way back, but it's go time now. Less than, you know, we're approaching 50 games for a lot of these guys.
Yeah,
you're right, bro.
Habits are teams, like Teed. Baseball is so pretty when it's pretty. Baseball is so ugly when you watch so much of it. And, like, now we're getting to the good-looking baseball, so thank God.
Yes, and thank God my White Sox are part of that good-looking baseball.
I got
to take away. I can get them right now. I couldn't let you get your shit off for that long, and I'm not mentioning something good happened for me. You know? But, nah, man, let's go ahead and wrap this up. As we do every week, we'll get back into it. Like you said, it's a lot of good baseball happening right now. We'll get into our series to watch. Now, my series, I'm not going to lie, they just had a fucking slow pitch softball game tonight. It was 12-11. The Reds scored 8 runs in the 8th, but the Braves won. But this weekend will be special. Unfortunately, due to travel issues, I won't be able to make it, but the Reds and the Braves will be going up to Bristol, Tennessee, Bristol Motor Speedway on Saturday to close that series out. That'll be game 3. They have another game tomorrow. But if you're the Braves, you got Spencer Strider going. And I think, you know, it's really just a highlight that you're a part of another jewel event this season in Major League Baseball. For those that don't know, the major events they do, like Field of Dreams, All-Star, the East-West game, Spring Arizona Fall League, those are considered jewel events. And, you know, Major League Baseball goes out of their way to really put on, I don't want to say a show, but put on a good presentation for not only the fans, but the media involved. Like I said, they did a great job with All-Star this year. I'm sure it's going to be amazing in Bristol. Like, I can only imagine 90,000 people and, you know, what many people to consider be one of the last coliseums in America. Watching a baseball game, I think that's gonna be dope. Potentially hit some home runs onto the actual track. I think that's cool. But other than that, I think this series is a shit sandwich. The Reds are still pushing for the playoffs. Shout out to Terry Francona. I think that's one manager I just really respect. Like, everywhere he goes, he sets a tone. And a lot of people use culture as a cliche, but that's something with Terry Francona. You know for a fact that's how he operates. That's what he does. If you're on his ball club, you're gonna play a certain way. It's certain things that are just gonna happen. And I really rock with them. So shout out to Cincinnati. For the Braves, like I said, Ronnie, he'll be out this week, so he won't play in this series. And now it's evaluation time. See what you got. See who you want to keep. See who you want to get rid of. Ozzie Albies has an option. I believe it's a $7 to $8 million option. Nothing too expensive. But you can pick that up and look at, you know, trade possibilities and just see how you can enhance this roster. But no, strictly evaluation time in Atlanta. And so even though they'll be heading up to Bristol for what will be an amazing event, it's not too much you can really get excited about. Malik, I'm going to go to you. And then Sid, you can take us home. What's your series this week, Malik?
Yeah, and it's already going down as we record this first episode, but there still be three games left between the Rangers and the Mariners, who entered the game tied in the standings behind the Houston Astros, five back, I believe, as of Thursday night. Merrill Kelly, he was supposed to pitch for the Diamondbacks on Friday, I believe. He should be in the rotation. I expect him to slot in Saturday night or Sunday. I'm sure they don't want to throw him too much off of his rhythm, but this is the last series between the two teams. Like we talked about, the Mariners are covered boys. They loaded up, you know. I love the Josh Naylor ad. I loved Eugenio Suarez when he was on their team originally. He was a killer when they played in Arlington. You know, and the Mariners, they're a close-knit family-type team, so I know that that ad helps them a lot. And then the Texas Rangers, man, Chris Young, he said, hey, you bats, I trust you guys got to produce or we're going to lose. You know, he believed in his guys. So we're going to see if it was worth hoarding all those prospects. They did lose three of the top 30 in the deal for Merrill Kelly. But I think they could have offloaded a few more guys, especially with some guys that they DFA'd today. I think they could have found, you know, a bag of baseballs for him or something. So, but yeah, Mariners versus Rangers for four games. I believe what Kumar Rocker and George Kirby are on the mound as we speak. Castillo would be in this series, so it'll be a fun one out there in the great Northwest.
Nah, that's definitely. That's actually what I'm watching right now. Hey, Sid, take us home, bro. What series you got this week?
I am hate watching the Royals this weekend. Someone reminded me of the 2014 or the 2015 Royals, and I saw they're playing Toronto, and so that's my watch for the week. For the weekend. I think the Royals did some okay thing to the trade deadline. I'm pretty sure they brought in Brady Falter. I'm pretty sure they brought in some other random bats here and there, but nothing enough to say like, you're doing well enough. But the Blue Jays, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, this is a fun team to watch. They'll be competing for the AL East. And honestly, like we said, baseball is here. Things aren't habits anymore. This is just teams. It's time to go. It's time to have fun.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. We are right where we wanted to be. It's been a long season. Our first full season as the golfer, it's our first full season as a foursome. But every once in a while, when you got a foursome, one person can't make it. And we've done a great job, you know, just continuing the momentum, keeping the energy up. And this was another great episode, man. And I appreciate the fellas stopping through. You know where to find Malik at underscore team mill. Malik, any interviews this week you dropping, bro?
I do have a Glover Torres, but I'm thinking about showing the San Diego faithful what they got out of Mason Miller and Ryan O'Hearn. Interviewed those guys earlier this year. And Mason's story about how he developed his 103 mile an hour fastball and just his mentality switch. He's only been closing for like two seasons full time now. So just his mentality and what he's going to bring to that. I'm sure those fans will like it. And next week we have in some form or fashion, we have the Phillies and the Yankees and the Diamondbacks in the city next week. So I'm sure I'll have something up before the next episode.
All right, definitely. Sid, bro, you've been working. Tell us where they can find you.
I'm at Sid Slide Park. I'm gonna have some articles coming out. I'm gonna have a lot of stuff coming out. I've been sitting on a lot of stuff, and not releasing it. I'm not doing that anymore. I have so many things to say about baseball. I'm really passionate about it. Y'all are gonna hear it, read it, see it.
Yes, sir. And you already know. And I appreciate that because that's going to put the battery in my back to finally get off my ass and start writing again. Right. It's fun when we do podcasts and, you know, pregame videos and stuff like that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's about getting back to the essence of it all. And, I mean, sometimes you have to put, you know, pen to paper and eventually, like I said, put your fingers on this keyboard and get to writing. So look out for that. There will be some great, great, great material for you all to take in. Again, any topic you want to see, anything you want to hear, let me know. All of our DMs are open. Courtney's as well. Be respectful in hers. But, you know, yeah, like I said, at the end of the day, it's just four people who love the game of baseball. We love talking about ball. I think this might be our first episode that went over an hour. But, no, we appreciate you for kicking it with us. You know where to find me. October Zone Tay on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Barbershare Network at Barbershare Co. on Twitter and IG. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network for very affordable tiers. For any merch needs, bcnetshop.com. And for everything Barbershare, check out the bcnet.com. Once again, thank you for tuning in, bro. Episode 15 of the High and Outside Podcast. And we'll see you next week.